You're listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. From Darwin, Australia, this is your host, Lucy Van Sambeek. Hello, my guest on Talk the Walk this week is Leonie Hunter. Leonie is a Tiwi woman who has recently started working with Relationships Australia in the Healing Our Children project. Leonie is also a carer for family members who have mental health issues and therefore has a strong growing interest in this area. In the last few months, Leonie and I have been talking a lot about a shared interest we have in using nature for healing. There's a growing body of research in the scientific field on the health benefits of being in nature, in the fields of ecotherapy, eco-psychotherapy, forest therapy, wilderness therapy, and so on. While interest is growing in the Western world in using the forest as therapist, the healing power of the bush is not new to Aboriginal Australians. I've asked Leonie if she would come on the show and share her knowledge and passion for something that Tiwi people have done their whole lives, and to explore how we as non-Aboriginal Australians might be able to engage with these ideas, beliefs and practices in social work and other therapeutic contexts. Thanks for joining me on Talk the Walk, Leonie.
Hi, Lucy.
So we're sitting here at Casuarina Beach on a very sunny, warm day, and I'm noticing the change in seasons from the dry season we've just experienced into an increased humidity and what we call the build-up. And it got me wondering, what are you noticing at the moment in nature?
Yeah, there's the season slowly changing from the dry. Now we're coming into the build-up with the humidity getting more unbearable. But traditionally, with Indigenous people, we have seven seasons. Yeah, we follow like the flowers coming in. They tell us what sort of food's available and what fruits we can eat and what's ready for hunting and gathering, which animal, which berries.
So what are you noticing in animals, birds or bush food that's around at the moment?
Well, the plums will be coming soon, Kakadu plums. That's what they call it. But the Aboriginal term is Dutchby plum. Yeah, that will be coming into season soon. They normally come about when the knock-em-down rains happen.
Mm.
That's when the knock-em-down rains, it's called, will knock down all the long grass, all the spear grass.
Yep. And so when the plum is coming into season, what's the sign for other things that might be gatherable or...
Well, the snakes will be starting to come out because of all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be looking for drier spots to nest and rest.
So that's an opportunity to hunt them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. So I really want to explore with you about the healing power of nature. Can you give us an idea about the history of how Tiwi people have been using nature in healing ways?
Well, before... the Western ways came into, was put upon Indigenous people. We were always one with nature. There was never really any stress. Like, the only worries we would have had was shelter and food, and time wasn't of essence. Everything went on our own time, time with Mother Nature.
And so can you speak about some of the different ways that you use nature, the parts of nature for healing?
Well, we'll use certain trees to do smoking ceremonies and healing ceremonies with fire and just healing all around, being in the bush amongst the trees and listening to nature without the hustle and bustle of city life.
Can you explain a bit more about what that looks like in terms of listening to nature and how that works as a healer?
Listening to your surroundings and being aware of your surroundings, not only watching but listening is the main part of it. And just listening to the wind blowing through the trees or the water running or even the animals rustling around in the dry leaves. is therapeutic. And watching the animals in their home environment.
As you were speaking, it sounds almost like a bit of a meditative practice, sitting there, not just listening to your surroundings, but perhaps what's going on inside. Does that happen too?
Yeah, for people? Yeah, it gives you a chance to, when you're sitting out in the bush with no distractions, no worry for time or no noise pollution, you can focus on what's happening inside of you as well as what's going on with Mother Nature and the environment that, yeah, we live in.
Mm. And are you able to share, I guess, some of the more practical ways of using nature, like leaves, berries, the different parts of plants that you might use for healing physical ailments?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of bush medicine that we use on the Tiwi Islands, but there's also, yeah, the healing aspect of it all that is still practiced on the Tiwi Islands with the young people.
Mm. Can you give us some examples of things that are still practiced today?
Well, they still practice the healing side where they'll make a fire and you'll it's like a smoking ceremony, and then you'll sit around and talk out in the bush for a few weeks and just let everything out, what's holding on inside of you, just sitting down and talking around the fire. There's certain trees that the women will gather up and boil the leaves, and also the bark, and they'd rub the boiled water onto their body if they've got skin infections, or if it's internal, they'll drink the warm liquid for like a cleansing.
Mm, so what kind of conditions internally are we talking about that can be treated through?
Stomach aches, stomach bugs, diarrhea, flus, colds, chest infections.
Mm-hmm. So we can use nature to heal not just physical ailments but emotional issues as well, is what I'm hearing you say. What is it about using the bush for healing that really excites you the most?
Just when you're in the bush, there's no conscious of time. Everything's at your own pace, and feeling Mother Nature around you and being connected to the environment, which is very important to Indigenous people, having that belonging to land and to the water and to the trees.
Mm. So, Leonie, can you tell me how you came to learn about the many different ways that nature can heal?
From being out in the environment from a very young age and just having that connection with my Indigenous family and always being out hunting and gathering and learning from the elders about the healing of the bush and the plants.
So was there any particular places or times in your life that really stand out to you as learning opportunities that you had?
Yeah, a lot of it would come from old traditional elder at Kakadu, Bill Nagy.
Mm.
He would always emphasise to us about the importance of trees, how trees are like us, they bleed like us, and that we have to look after the trees because they look after us. They provide fresh air, oxygen and shade, and yeah, trees are a lot like us.
Mm. So Bill was one of those particular people that was really a mentor for you?
Yeah, and he had a lot of knowledge about his land and, yeah, the environment and the healing of it, the healing aspect of being out in the bush with nature and how it's always good for our spirit, to heal our spirit.
And what about in your own family? Who were your mentors?
Well, a lot of them was my fathers and aunties and cousins, where they have a good knowledge of bush medicine and hunting and also the healing and ceremony side of it.
And can you trace back to a particular age where you started to learn some of this stuff from your aunties or your cousins?
It would have been about when I was 8 years old, when I first started connecting with the traditional elder Bill Nagy.
Right. And what was that first encounter like with him?
would go and sit out on his country, and he'd sit us down under the shady tree and tell us a lot of stories about the land, how the rocks and trees came about in their dreamtime stories. And it was just very, he was a very knowledgeable man.
And he's written a lot down in a couple of books, hasn't he?
Yeah.
What do you know about what's contained in those books, which we can put in the show notes for people to go and have a look at?
Well, he talks about trees, how it's important for us to even connect with the trees in nature.
That's the biggest thing that you've taken away from it, isn't it?
Yes. How he would point to us that trees are like us. They bleed. They feel pain.
Mm.
And not to damage that tree because it has feelings.
That's a really important message for today, isn't it? When, you know, across the world we're deforesting at incredible rates, we're seeing the effects of climate change. So those messages from those old men are so important today, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, like that was 30-odd years ago that he'd had that knowledge, and still nobody's listening.
What do you think are the key messages to take away from that in terms of how we deal with climate change?
Is that Mother Nature is very fragile and we have to look after her and protect her.
It's almost like there's this two-way relationship. If we look after the Earth, Earth will look after us.
Yeah.
But we're not doing a very good job of looking after it. So now it is making us sick, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are your ideas around when you disturb nature, that it makes you ill, physically ill?
Yeah, well, I've always grown up being taught that if we went to an area in the bush, that we had to leave it the way that we found it, clean, not to leave so much of our footprint on the environment, that we had to walk away and have it looking like we haven't been there, camping, or to take our rubbish with us, and just to help look after the land we saw it sick.
Because humanity really hasn't been treating nature so well, people are getting sick around the world, aren't they?
Yeah.
And what is your understanding about the connection in Aboriginal culture between land which is not looked after well and how that affects Aboriginal people?
Well, we tend to get sick because we can see that our country is slowly dying. The amount of food we're not getting out of that certain area, it makes us feel sick because we're not looking after country as good as we should be.
And are there also effects in terms of people's emotional well-being that happen if the environment is not well looked after?
Yeah, it's sad. You get very sad for Mother Nature, especially if you go to an area that you've always been going to from a childhood. See how much of that environment has changed, whether it's through mankind or erosion, Mother Nature itself. We feel emotionally hurt because, that area has been damaged.
Are you able to speak about the values, the beliefs, or the principles behind the healing powers of the bush and why it is so important to the Tiwi people?
Being out in the bush is very therapeutic and healing for us Indigenous people because we've always been out in the bush. We've always lived in the environment. And now with Western society, where we're forced to live in homes and forced to live in the cities or the towns, it's getting very detrimental to not only us, ourselves, but to our children, because they're losing that connection to land and to their spiritual being and their culture, because we're having to be urbanized because of, government policies or the Western way of life, whereas back in the old days it wasn't as stressful, not like today. It's too much stress on ourselves and our young people.
Stress, as we know, contributes to huge health problems, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's always good, even if we do live in the cities or the towns, it's always good to take our children back to country so that they can reconnect and get some healing from the bush, where time is not a worry.
So what are some of the benefits for kids that you take out bush? Why is that important?
for one, the fresh air, the letting their toes, you know, let the sand go through their toes. My children love that. They love being able to run and play on the beach and sit under the tree and, you know, make a fire and eat bush tucker.
I imagine that's really important in today's world where we see kids just being taken over by technology and their mind being ruled by that, looking at screens all day.
Yeah, and also with friends.
What do you mean
worrying
by that?
About their social lives and what everybody else is doing instead of focusing on their own self. And with the social media aspect of it all, they're getting exposed to a lot of things, too many things, which really isn't good for a growing brain.
And what about your own personal connection with nature? How has it helped you in a healing way? What difference has it made to your life?
Well, I always feel recharged once I've been out in the bush. I'll come back into city life and I feel very renewed, spirit, mind and body. Taking in all the fresh air and sitting down, you know, on the beach, under a tree. A lot of time to think about things.
And so what times do you find yourself needing to go out into nature?
If I'm getting homesick for country or a lot of stress or just too much stuff happening, especially living in the suburbs, you've got your neighbours you've got to put up with, you've got seeing a lot of family just drink to cure their wounds or drug use or just the money, the money side of things. Like money has really taken over a lot of lives. You need money just to walk out the door. You need money just to survive. And in the old days, we didn't have money. We survived quite well without money. Mm. And now in this day and age, that's all it's about.
So money. It's financial stress.
Yeah.
Right. Any other kind of things that you think, well, now's the time to go, I need to go at some...
Or even when we lose a loved one, we like to go sit out in the bush and grieve and feel that connection with our ancestors and our family to help us with our healing.
How does nature help in the grieving process?
It's like just being in tune with yourself, with nature, because we have that knowledge and that sense that our ancestors had walked this land thousands and thousands of times over. And we go back and sit on country and, yeah, just you can have that sense of the old people still being there like it was when we were children growing up.
And feeling that sense of connection to the ancestors and the people that have walked before you, why is that important in the grieving process?
To know that they might be gone physically, but spiritually they'll be still around us. That, yeah, we can still connect with them.
So it's a feeling you have, and it's actually in nature that's the place where it happens, this connection.
Yeah.
It sounds beautiful. Are there any potential downfalls or problems with using nature as a healer?
No, none that I can think of, but I've always grown up out in the bush. Being in the bush was a big part of my life.
Is it a problem that people can't get there? You mentioned before that we're forced to live in towns now and sometimes having access to a vehicle. Is that an issue? Could that be a potential issue for people or a problem if they can't access getting out bush?
Yeah, especially if you live a long way away from your homelands, it could be a problem for Indigenous people to go back to country and for the healing aspect of it.
So have you got a good news story you might be able to share about nature and how it's been a healer for someone you know, where perhaps traditional Western medicine has not been able to help?
One of my fathers was a traditional healer and one of my cousin sisters had gotten very ill when she was a child and she had gone to one of our fathers that was the healer and he had done some traditional remedy for her. And within 2 days, she was up and around like she hadn't been sick.
So how was this viewed in the community?
Well, we'd all known that he's a healer. So, yeah, because it's not really a surprise within the Indigenous community. And there was also a case where my son was very sick with a stomach bug. So I'd gotten my cousin, who's got a wide range of knowledge for bush medicine, so we'd went out and collected some leaves from a tree. She boiled it up and put it in my son's bottle. And the next day, or that same night, my son was heaps better. Yet when I'd taken him to a Western doctor, to the clinic, they were ready to fly him on AirMed.
Wow.
And I sort of, no, wait a minute, I want to go see my cousin. And the bush medicine had healed him. There was no need for him to go be hospitalised.
Great. And how widely is it accepted or practised now? So back in your community, back in the Tiwi Islands, do the clinics, do the health staff value bush medicine and healing power of nature?
I think it just all depends on the staff. If they've got knowledge of it and they accept our traditional healing ways.
And would it also depend on Aboriginal or community people that are employed in the clinic and their knowledge and how easy they can access some of the practices?
Yep. But I honestly think it's important for Indigenous people to be able to have that option in Western medicine. That, they have that option if they want to do traditional healing or bush medicine, that they not be held back from it.
So you've spoken about a couple of examples where some bush medicine was used to heal physical ailments. I'm wondering, healing in terms of emotional or spiritual practices are still used on people if around mental health issues or things like that?
Yeah, they'll do smoking ceremonies and fire ceremonies.
So how do you think non-Indigenous social workers like myself might be able to incorporate Aboriginal perspectives about healing into their therapeutic work with Aboriginal clients?
Non-Indigenous people need to be more aware of the natural healing aspects of it and the bush medicine, and be able to give the client the opportunity to be able to use it.
Yeah, so it's about having relationships with the right people in the community that might have that knowledge.
Yeah, okay. And to give them that opportunity.
Yeah.
Instead of, Western ways. Not everyone likes to go and sit down and talk with a total stranger and get, counselling or whatever. A lot of our mob just like to go sit out in the bush, go hunting and regenerate themselves like that, Instead of sitting down in an office and talking about their problems to a psychiatrist.
So it's about how do we incorporate the best of two worlds, really? What Western knowledge and practices might have to offer somebody, but also what Aboriginal perspectives and traditional knowledge might have to offer someone.
Yeah, especially if your clients are Indigenous, having that choice.
Good. So do you have any future plans on how you might use this knowledge in your work or your family life? Or are you just going to continue what you're doing?
Yeah, I want to get into it more, especially for the younger generation, because we can see that a lot of the younger generation aren't coping that well, especially with social media and the pressures of society that are getting put on them at a young age, and the money business side of that with the youth. They're all concerned about money, looking good.
So what ideas do you have around how you might incorporate some of this knowledge in work with young people?
Well, healing camps.
Okay.
Yeah, I really want to go back and talk with some aunties in the community to see if we can get healing camps done on a regular basis for our troubled youth.
What's your image of what that healing camp might look like? Tell me that picture.
With the young girls, taking a group of elderly women out that have that knowledge, organising a bush trip on country where the young girls' ancestral country is, and getting them to connect with
the
land.
Sounds fabulous. And finally, can you suggest any resources for people who might be interested in learning more about the healing power of nature from an Indigenous perspective? You've talked about Bill's work and we can make some links to his book. What is the best way forward for people who want to learn more about the healing power of nature?
Well, getting in touch with the elders that still practice traditional medicine and traditional healing.
So getting to know those people around where you might live?
Yeah, the local, whatever town or community you live in, get to know the local medicine people.
Where might be the first point of call for people who live, I don't know, in a regional area or even in a city?
Well, I know some hospitals do have those sort of contact people, and the clinics now are also implementing traditional healing as an option for Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. So there might be some Aboriginal health workers.
Yeah. Because I know with the Darwin Hospital, we're allowed to take bush tucker in to our family if they request bush tucker.
Yeah, great. So
I know there's relatives that will go out hunting and take bush tucker up to the hospital for family because they've been in hospital for weeks and they miss eating their bush food.
I really want to thank you, Leonie, for coming out on this rather warm afternoon as we head into our build-up season. And what do you reckon, we go for a little bit of a stroll in nature?
Oh, yeah.
What are we likely to see around here?
The local wildlife, the jungle fowls, there'll be bush peanut.
Thanks again for coming along and having a chat to us. I've learned a lot today in this half-hour talk. Yeah, every time I talk to you, I learn more and more. So I really, really appreciate it personally. And I'm sure that those listening really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with them today too. So thanks again.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thanks for listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story, music by Flashback Digital. You can access all the show notes from today's podcast at www.metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au. I'm currently on the lookout for inspiring interviewees. If you or someone you know is walking the talk in their work or community, then I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at lucy@metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au or visit my contact page on the Metaphorically Speaking website. Until next time, just keep on walking.